Happy Wednesday. I have two announcements regarding immersion trips. You can see up on the screen, they're still opening for the immersion trips. A lot of great places to go. Interested, go to the website or see Nancy Smith. Second announcement, if you're saying, I want to go on an immersion trip, but I can't afford it. They're going to have a meeting tomorrow night, 6 to 6:30 at Winant's, how to do fundraising for immersion trips. Check it out. I have asked my good friend Hope College Jr., Irene Girish from the great state of New Mexico, to read our Advent. You can give Irene a little loving. Irene's going to read our Advent scripture today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 45. If you're interested, Pew Bibles on page 831, or go to your smartphones, Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, 26 through 45. After Irene has completed the reading, would you keep your Bibles open as well? Irene.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord."
This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Give Irene a little loving. Thank you, Irene. Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, are the two main characters in these 20 verses from Luke's Gospel. And in the next 8 to 9 minutes, I want to offer three obvious things that Mary and Elizabeth have in common, as well as three not-so-obvious things that Mary and Elizabeth have in common. First, the three obvious things that Mary and Elizabeth have in common, and I'm going to move through these rather quickly because they are so very obvious. Here's the first one. They're both women. I said they were obvious. Okay. Second, they're both pregnant. Third, and finally, both of their conceptions would be considered miraculous. Elizabeth is pregnant even though she is way beyond her childbearing years, and Mary is pregnant even though she's a virgin. And that's a sermon for another time, but I'm not going to preach it today. These are the three obvious things that Mary and Elizabeth have in common. But it is the three not-so-obvious things that Mary and Elizabeth have in common that I want us to focus on this morning. And each of these three not-so-obvious things that I want to highlight begin with the letter R. And in fact, I'm going to give them to you before we unpack them. All right? Are you ready? Here's the three R's. Not-so-obvious. Both Mary and Elizabeth are receptive and have receptive hearts. Second, both Elizabeth and Mary had a recognition of God's initiative and invitation. And finally, both had a ready obedience. Receptive, recognition, and ready. Let's quickly unpack all three of these. First, both Mary and Elizabeth had a receptive heart towards the Lord, meaning their hearts were soft and open to the Lord. Repeatedly, the scripture makes a distinction between soft and hard hearts and open and closed hearts in people. To have a soft or open heart to the Lord referred to having a willing or a submitting posture to God, while a hard and closed heart referred to having an unwilling or obstinate posture towards God. Which raises the question, how does one keep their heart soft and open to the Lord? What does that practically look like? Author Bill Hybels, in his book, Just Walk Across the Room, offers one way to keep our hearts soft and open to the Lord. He writes that each morning when he wakes up, he prays this prayer: "My life is in your hands, God. Use me to point someone towards you today. I promise to cooperate in any way I can. If you want me to say a word for you today, I'll do it. If you want me to keep quiet but demonstrate love and servanthood by your Spirit's power, I will. I am fully available to you today, so guide me by your Spirit." Mary, in our text, says it this way: "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Verse 38. We keep our hearts soft and open and receptive to the Lord when we daily submit ourselves to God and God's kingdom purposes, which leads to the second not-so-obvious thing that Mary and Elizabeth have in common. They both had a recognition of God's initiative and invitation. You see, God's always initiating, inviting us to be a part of his work. Jesus acknowledged this himself when he states in John 5:17, "My Father is still working, and I also am working." And in our text, God is inviting both Mary and Elizabeth to be a part of his kingdom purposes. And as we all know, that when somebody extends an invitation, it requires a reply, either a yes or a no. And some invitations are easy to reply to because they demand no risk or cost. But you need to know, an invitation from God usually requires a certain level of risk or cost. I've seen this in my own life, and I've seen it in the lives of many students and faculty and staff here at Hope that I associate with, which includes many of you sitting here today. At some point, we recognize that God is inviting us to speak or to stand on his behalf, whether that's within our friendship groups or our teams or our sororities or our fraternities, the clubs we belong to, the organizations, our resident halls, our office, our work, our class, or even within our own families, which holds a certain level of risk and cost, doesn't it? Right? I mean, we risk being rejected when we do that. We may risk a friendship. We may risk being thought of as a fool or a Jesus freak, right? We risk being considered judgmental. We risk being accused of being hurtful or intolerant. Mary and Elizabeth both recognize God's invitation in their lives, and their response leads to our final not-so-obvious R that they had in common, which is a ready obedience. Look at verse 39 in our text. "In those days, Mary set out and went with haste I love Mary's response to God's invitation. She went with haste. The Greek word used for haste here in the text is spodeis, which means speed. Mary's response to God's invitation is an active and speedy yes, a ready obedience. How often do we recognize God's invitation to us and our response is to him and to haw and to haw and to him until we become paralyzed and immobile? I've been there. How about you? Mary and Elizabeth model to us an appropriate response to God's invitation, which is a ready obedience. So, here are three questions to our three not-so-obvious things that Mary and Elizabeth have in common. Here's the first. How receptive is your heart to the Lord right now? Is it soft? Is it open? Or is it rather distant or cold or even hard? Second, how do you recognize and where do you recognize God's inviting to you to speak or to stand on his behalf right now? And third, how are you responding to this invitation? Receptive, recognition, and ready. In this Advent season, we are mindful of the one whose name is Jesus, whose heart was receptive to God in such a way that he recognized, counted the risk and the cost of speaking and standing for God so that his response was a full and ready obedience to God. Let each of us here today, go and do likewise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.